This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Yes, it is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, Friday, TGIBPF. Thank God it's Busted Pencils Friday, Johnny Lupinacci. Here we are.
Yes, it is. It's Friday. And you know what, Tim? It's getting really close to Friday night lights all around the country, especially in Wisconsin. Can't wait, man. Fall is special. It's still summer. It's back to school. But there's something about fall evenings, especially fall Fridays. Yeah. I know I get excited for football. College football this weekend. Pro football, not as exciting as high school football. Let's admit it, you know, joking. But college and high school football is so awesome and such a stalwart part of almost every community I've ever been a part of, right? Like, not every kid plays football. Not every people or not every family likes football. But communities in this country, we have some traditions around Friday night lights. Mm. And it's a pretty good time, man. So really exciting to turn that page from summer to fall. And I know you're ready for it.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely ready for it because I tell you right now, man, where I'm at, it has been a scorcher for like days and days on end, man.
Oh, that's headed my way.
High 90s, no rain, no nothing, man. Okay. The only good thing is I have not had to cut my grass. I think I cut my grass like last in May. I'm exaggerating, obviously, but
been dry, huh? It's been dry.
It's been dry, you know, and it's been hot, and you walk outside and you're kind of like, oh God, put me back inside. But hey, you know what? Friday night though, lots going on, Johnny. I got, guess what? Friday night, Tim's trivia. I got one for everybody tonight. I tell you what.
Don't tell us yet, though.
Hold on a little bit, man. But it's gonna, you know, you're gonna have to put together your thinking caps. It's not gonna be one of those crazy.
Is it a
ones,
riddle
like,
this week?
It's not a riddle. It's a riddle. No, it is a, well, you know, it'll be an answer and a date will be what is required to get this one. So we'll put it together. I'm looking forward to it, but you know, thinking about as we do this show all the time and just the work that we've done, the guests that we've had on have been, you know, stellar. We're always talking about the bedrock of democracy being our public schools. And Johnny, you know, pointing out though to those events that connect with schools for people to remember those things, you know, whether, and again, Friday Night Football, it makes perfect sense in the fall to be talking about that. But, you know, all of those events, whether it's the drama event that those kids are putting on, whether it's the first graders playing violins that are absolutely horrible to listen to, but
the
you got to
quarters and turned over 5 gallon buckets.
All of it
matters. Shakespeare night. I always liked that one. The student production of one of the Shakespeare's, my favorite, The Tempest. So all those different community events, man, they're so important.
Well, it's what keeps the community going. And I think so many times we forget and we put those all together in one big basket and then look at them and go, wow, look at what happens in our town, in our community, in our area with our public school. It's football, it's drama, it's parades, it's, you know, the firemen are out there showing things. It's just all of those things to realize that. And you say, why is that important, Tim? What are you bringing that up for? Now it's to point out the realization that so many people forget. When we talk about democracy, we talk about public schools, to realize the seriousness of what we're putting forward here is that There's no democracy without the ability to live and learn in a laboratory of democracy, which is our public school system. That doesn't mean it's without critique and without fault, because we're talking about that. But the reality of where do you learn democracy? Where do you learn to be a citizen? Where do you learn to actually be a contributing member? it's your public schools. So we remind people every night of the week here is that this is not a show where you're going to necessarily come on and go like, what are they teaching us about tonight? What is the latest homework? No, no, no. The essentialness is to realize everything that goes into life. The community public school is the center of the universe, man.
Yeah, man. And just to have conversations around that every day. So, I mean, I'm looking back at this week, Tim, and woo, what a banger of a week. I mean, they zip by and we are still riding that wave and that energy of like pure political joy, because there is more than just hope. Like, let's hope something, some miracle happens for the election. We're not looking for a miracle. We've got a real strong ticket. And I'm seeing Democrats organize all the way down, all the way up from the presidential ticket to your local elections. There is energy and there's action with that. But Tim, this week was pretty awesome. Monday, we got a great call from, we got a call because we are teachers, right, Tim? Mm-hmm. We're professors and teaching teachers. We had a teaching career. I mean, like educated educators talking education. We had a caller on Monday who called in and said, I have a question about Electoral College. And you know what? Could you talk about Electoral College social studies teachers, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci here? So we talked about the Electoral College. We got into it. And then Tuesday,
teaching moment. I mean, it was really just the wonder absolutely. Of live radio.
Yeah.
Don't you love that when that happens? And then Edgewood College, grow your own. I mean, that's the backyard right outside the studio in Madison right there. Edgewood College folks teaming up with Madison teachers. The Grow Your Own. We love that Grow Your Own program everywhere. And was really cool, Tim, just to recap listeners, you should go back and listen to the awesome stuff that's happening between Madison schools and Edgewood College. And it's not only there, it's happening all around the country. Really cool ways that unique partnerships are creating pathways for people who think they would be great educators to become teachers. Tim, man, I'm reflecting on a lot.
Yeah, you know, are, man.
This last year, we had premonitions at the New Year's. We were saying, hey, what could we do? What would we hope for? And two premonitions have come 100% true. One was I said more teachers were going to run for office. I had no idea. I should actually say I thought I knew. I had no idea it would be the vice president candidate.
Right.
That would be a former teacher running for office, because there are so many educators running for really important local elections around this country. The most I think we've ever seen in an election. So teachers' voices are getting out there. The other thing, Tim, we said we hoped more of is that people out there listening to Busted Pencils who were really excited about how could I become a teacher? Not like, hey, how can I go back to school because I'm, you know, picking a college after high school or I'm ready to go full time and move close to a university. No, how could everyday working folks who enjoy teaching other people things, especially young people, become teachers? And those Grow Your Own programs that we keep learning more and more about, and they call in and they talk to us, and those program directors and professors and teachers talk about those programs and our listeners. This is where I come all the way to this. We heard from a listener offline, right in the stream the other night, who said, who called in and said, my wife is really interested in becoming a teacher. Can you connect her to that Grow Your Own program? I love when, Tim, we can make a connection like that. So that's one more teacher in Wisconsin that's going to be a great teacher and is going to likely stay in teaching because these programs are solid. So we have that on Tuesday. And we got a great lineup because we had Educators Amplified on Wednesday.
Yep.
And then we had a real good conversation. Got slightly cut off because, you know, some dude who wants to be president or thinks he can run a country landed in lacrosse. But you know what? Thursday, we had a great conversation with WPN. We'll talk about it more because stay with us. This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk.
It is, man. And here's the deal.
It's Friday.
It is TGIBPF. Thank God it's Busted Pencils Friday. Johnny, it's Tim's Trivia.
Yes. Oh, it's Tim's Trivia.
Yeah. Bum. All right, so check it out, man. There was an event. I'm going to go back. You know, people say you always love picking on Pennsylvania. I do. So there's a hint, though, there in that. What U.S. city had an event that led to the first air quality regulations in the country? And what was the year that that event happened? So Pennsylvania, well, maybe something there, but there was an event, and this event led to the first air quality regulations in the country out there. So we're looking for the city, looking for the year. And you know what, too? And if you want to call in 855-752-4842, you'll know a little bit more about that. We're going to be sharing, though, because this is one of those when I did not know that. And wow, holy crap.
I got nothing off the top of my head, Tim. Usually I've got, you know, a dart I can throw. I'm a little stumped. So I love this one.
A little trivia.
Listeners are going to get it, though. I got faith in our listening core out there. You got this one, Jess.
What are you thinking, Jess?
I have no idea.
Stumped. Johnny and Jess stumped on this one. Just to go, Tim will give us some clues if listeners don't nail it right away.
Well, yeah, gave you one, though, too, already. You know, gives you a place to start looking. But yeah,
we know,
man.
We
know what state it was. You know,
I mean, do we, though? I mean, if we follow the patterns of Tim's
trivia. It could be a misdirect. Yeah.
The clue is sometimes a red herring.
Yeah, it could be, well, you know, well, Pennsylvania has some coastline, and that was the connection. And really, really, we're looking
at Pennsylvania as a state. And also this other place is in a state.
Arkansas.
You know how
Tim's
trivia goes. The clues can sometimes be a red herring. And I love that about you, Tim. That's part of
it. You cool keep us on our toes.
That's what we do. 855-752-4842 if you have an answer for Tim's trivia. Yeah, put it out there. The question, what U.S. city had an event that led to the first air quality regulations in the country? And what was the year that that happened? It's out there. We'll take text messages. You know, those of you out there on the Civic Media app that you've downloaded that you're using all the time to catch all that great Civic Media programming, hey, use it. If you're on the Twix, as Johnny pointed out last night, that's the Twitter X. You could do that. You know, you're on the Civic Media Twitter X page. You're looking at it. You're watching. You're like, man, those guys and that producer they have. Yeah, they're pretty good eye candy, man. Yeah, we know that. Facebook.
Oh, come on. Come on, Facebook radio, Tim.
Facebook and YouTube. Yeah, come on, Jess, right? You know, hey. Look, I tell you what, though, if you are coming in to watch, though, just to let you know that you might want to put on some sunglasses because there's a lot of reflection coming off of the top of two of the guys' heads in there. Busted pencils, fully leaded, 855-752-4842. Tim's Trivia, looking forward to the call. What are we doing this for the cause? We're just doing it for the cause. The cause, we're just doing it for the cause. Gotta love coming in like that. Tim Mickelrith, Rise Against, Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded, Education Talk, Educated Educators Talking Education. Man, I tell you, yeah, NoFX, Rise Against, pointed out all the time, man, but you are never going to get this kind of music on any other radio show that you're listening to. Dealing with public education, like public education, democracy, punk rock, how did they pull that off? Hey, we do it all the time because we're doing it for the cause, Johnny Lupinacci. Speaking
Tim, and I'm thinking about it, the cause too. You know, special about it. Tim was a guest on Busted Pencils. I mean, he's a fan and a friend of Busted Pencils. So, you know, the interconnectedness of punk music, of political statement, of, you know, a people's movement around recognizing education. It's real, it's raw. You know, I love it, man. I love that it's happening.
You're talking about that too. It just made me think about, you know, yeah, the people that have made their appearance here on Busted Pencils, right? You know, Tim Mickelrith, Rise Against, Alfie Cohn, constant person who's been writing about education, Diane Ravitch, Matt Damon's mom. You know, even too, if you had a, you know, a couple.
I mean, I fell over laughing the first time we got that call. It says, "Hey, will you stop bugging me?" And
I was gonna say.
Right. I mean, I fell over when Matt Damon came out and said that.
Right. I mean, we got Matt Damon dropping. Yeah, we got the Matt Damon dropping lines for the show. You know, you just think about that. And well, it's what we do, though, is that we put this out there because we know there are listeners out there going, it's just like, yeah, these are people that Johnny and I, you know, first of all, yeah, there's some celebrityness, but then also the other types, you know, we're bringing in what people are going like, I didn't know that that person was out there doing that kind of work. Kevin Kumashiro out there just big time, you know, Julian Vasquez Heilig, right? You know, kind of bringing in that higher education, these people that are out there doing that incredible work with diversity, equity, and inclusion types of things. And again, embedding of that all in this advocacy for what we talk about, public schools, to realize that. So linking punk rockers, Matt Damon's mom, Diane Ravitch, Alfie Cohen, all this together. And this is what you get when you go, it's like, wait a minute, how do you put on a show like that?
And don't forget, man, if we're talking punk.
Yeah.
Our guy Martin. Come on, man.
Right? Martin Atkins, Public Image Limited, Johnny Rotten's Johnny Rotten's first energy. Band after the Sex Pistols. It's just there. And so we do that. Ah, man. But I'll put out a hint, though, too. You know, quick pivot. Hey, what U.S. city had an event that led to the first air quality regulations in the country? What was the year? The number is 855-752-4842. I know it's a Friday coming into a big, you know, holiday weekend. People are like, man, we're out partying already. Hey, you can call us from your party. We don't care. Man, jump on the horn. We'll hear a little bit of background noise, background music. Call us in with your best punk stuff, too. Tell us who we should be playing. 855-752-4842. Man, it's what we do. We bust in some pencils. You know, lots of events coming on. And, Johnny, just to point out, Jess and I today, we're talking with one of the sports people from Civic Media, Jimmy Koska, today. Hey. And really pointing out that, in fact, coming up, not tonight, next Friday, first round of district games. Jess, was he saying that like the games that count?
Right.
Yeah.
All the games that count start next Friday.
Yeah, man, it's exciting.
Yeah. You know, there have been a couple games here coming up, you know, kind of getting people warmed up. But Friday night football, the divisional, the sectionals, the conference games, they all start next Friday. So people, if you're out there getting ready for your team, man, you know, whatever it is that you're doing, getting ready to have that Friday night football. When I lived in Madison, I used to go every Friday night, you know, watch my son play football right there, go over and get a nice fresh brat, good Wisconsin, a nice brat, man. Put some nice, you know, hot mustard on top of that. Yeah, man. You know, and out there for high school football, man. We did that every Friday night. We walked down there, and people in our neighborhood in Verona, you'd see everybody walking down to the field every Friday night, you know, because that was a huge event. Friday night football in Verona. We know that. These are, again, to remind people, man, you don't have Friday night football the way you do without Busted Pencils together with public schools. Well, those things, you know, Johnny. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And to recap, because it's Friday's recap, you know, while our listeners still trying to figure out Tim's trivia, right? So don't forget, if you got that Tim's trivia, call in 855-752-4842. But recapping the week, yesterday we talked to, you know, WPEN, Washington Public, Wisconsin Public Educators Network, WPEN. And they were talking about referendums, right? And we broke it down, like, first and foremost, they said, like, we've said so many times, why do we even have to have these referendums? Well, because we don't really fund our public schools in an equitable or even an equal way. Like, we are underfunding our public schools at a legislative level. And remember, listener out there, we always talk about this on a 101 level. Schools, education in this country is a state right. Right. States are in charge of the public schools in their state. They have a responsibility. Our state government has a responsibility to public education. And historically, that's funding that public education as well. And that funding has not been so equitable. And that's a nice way of saying it's just been pretty much in decline for a long time. It's not sufficient. And then we learned about some of the ways that and reasons why we need referendums and how important they are to support, and the illusions of maybe you have a great sports facility, but that was through private donation. And so you might see like a really great football facility, and I hope you see a lot of them. I mean, I love my Friday footballs, high school football stuff, but or a track meet with a really great track, or a baseball game with an awesome baseball, you know, setup over there, cool dugouts and bleachers for us to sit in, you know, eat our sunflower seeds and just participate in high school sports and community activities. But the school itself is funded not by private donation, but through legislative dollars that have declined and aren't enough to get it done. So, you know, referendums then come up and we have to support those referendums so that kids are getting a good education. Because if you're not getting a good education, right, who's going to play in those sport games? Who's going to grow up to be the citizens and the people contributing to our growing economy? I mean, it's just befuddling to me. Like, come on, we got to fund schools. But we're in a moment where referendums are necessary. And so we have WPN really helping out, making sure those referendums get yes votes.
Was that a hint that you just gave us, Tim?
No, I'm getting ready. I was doing the befuddled. Oh. But what's the trivia question?
Restate it.
Restate the question. First of all, what U.S. city had an event that led to the first air quality regulations in the country? And what was the year? A thick yellowish fog. And we're talking about an event. Here's another hint. Tragic. It led to the first regulations. Yeah. Air quality
tends
regulations.
To not come from great okay? things.
So my guess is that somebody didn't go out and smell some stinky hog farms and go like, we need to fix that. This was an event that caused air quality regulations. Okay. Yeah. You know, thick yellowish fog. Busted pencils. Give us a call. We want to hear from you. I feel like jumping in on that, man. We will rock you. I love the remake. I still go back to it, man. Watching Freddie Mercury and Queen do this live, Johnny, I was 13 years old and got to see Queen in concert 1983. Man, Freddie Mercury.
That live, must have been a core memory.
Live We Will Rock You. OMG.
I had to lose my mind.
Yeah. Speaking of that, you made me think of something else, though, too, John. We were talking about NoFX and all the music connections we had, but I was watching a show last night. I didn't even know this show existed, but are bass players really human?
What?
And, And guess who it's hosted by?
I don't know. I got to, like...
Geddy Lee from Rush.
Man, I got to check. It's a show? What is this on?
Yeah, I mean, it's I think it was like, on Prime, I think is where okay. I found it. It was on Paramount Stream. But it's like, and so Geddy Lee goes around, there's like five episodes, and he interviews, you know, famous bass players, and they kind of talk about and so last night we were watching the interview with Trujillo, the bassist for Metallica, Robert. Yeah, you know, and then we were just finishing or just getting ready to start on I'm drawing a blank on his name, but the bassist for Nirvana, who's done a lot of interesting type of work. Becoming Chris Novoselic or whatever. He's like totally into being like a cool democratic citizen.
All right, quick, before we get back to typical educated educators talking education, this is part of it. Like, who's your favorite all-time bass player? Man, it's two guys that blow my mind that come to mind first when I think of bass. But Tim, who's your favorite bass player?
Well, I was gonna say one of mine is the right there. He's my man, Geddy. I just get, you know what it is too? maybe his bass playing isn't as awesome as some others, but the fact that he could play that bass, also move to keyboard and sing like he sang.
Yeah, I mean, there's a list of them who have held it down, and I would say bass players are kind of unsung heroes of some amazing bands, right? If you're a bass player, you're out there, you know it. Bass and drums hold it all together, and they rarely get the credit that they should get. But man, when I think bass players, two bass players that just have blown my mind every time I saw them and growing up hearing those bass lines come on tracks, the first, definitely, maybe my top, Flea from Red Hot.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely love that guy. And always, like, what a great outspoken dude for so many great causes, for such a long career as a high energy and unique bass player. And then Les Claypool. Woo-hoo-hoo. Remember Primus and Les Claypool? And I still get out to see Les Claypool shows. He puts together an amazing show and tours with just phenomenal band. But man, those two guys always just blew my mind when it came to bass. And so, man, big props to bass players out there.
Props to bass players, and right there too. And Sherry, oh my, I love Queen Sherry. Yeah, thank you guys. Everybody's like, where's Sherry been? She put the shout out. She's sorry. She's a little bit late, you know.
Hey, sometimes you're late to class, but you're never late to Busted Pencils, because you can listen live every day, right? But you can also tune into the Civic Media app. You can go to the Civic Media site. You can download our episodes. They upload right after the show. So even if you're running a little bit late, you can catch the content that you missed and get the whole thing.
Mm.
You know what that means? Every day on Busted Pencils, that bell rings and signals we got democracy in action. Shout out. We got to recognize when core democratic values are put into practice that strengthens democracy. We call that here on Busted Pencils, democracy in action. Tonight's core value, this is a special shout out. Tonight's core value is popular sovereignty. What does that mean, popular sovereignty? That's the power of the government comes from its people. Right? We the people are the government. We the people strengthen democracy. We the people make the change, right? That's you. So tonight, Democracy in Action goes to every listener of local radio. They're a huge part of strengthening democracy. Mm. Democracy in Action to those listeners. And I'm going to shout out the listeners that come to mind tonight for me for this Democracy in Action. You are the people. We are the government. Sherry, that's you tuning in and listening and showing us love. Good evenings every night from Sherry. Tom, L.A. Tom, man, this whole core democratic value. I mean, if there's a listener who gets this badge, it's L.A. Tom, because he starts every call with reminding us we the people are the government. Jack from Merrimack, always dropping that teacher experience and wisdom he has on so many Wisconsin issues in education. CJ, my man, CJ, sending us so many awesome pictures while we're live. We're getting all kinds of memes and edits.
That's Cam.
Cam. Yeah.
Oh, CJ's my guy who argues with us about, about charter schools. We love you too, CJ. You're part of it, because we don't always have to agree, but actually CJ and Tim and Johnny, we all do agree about the need for change in schools.
Oh, we do.
My man, CJ. Cam, that's our guy with the pictures. Joanne from Matt.
Joanne
has called in and asked so many great things. And there's so many more. Cindy on Monday night called in and asked about the Electoral College. And there's so many other listeners who you're in conversation with us, even if you're not calling or posting. We know you're listening. And tonight's Democracy in Action goes to you, because we the people are the government. We are the power. You listening to local radio and being part of that exchange of information, that dialogue that is the fabric of democracy, especially when we're talking about public education, where our young people are learning to do what we're all doing here. So appreciate you, and big shout out. You're our Democracy in Action recipients tonight. Sherry, Tom, Jack, Cam, CJ, even you. We love you, my guy. Noanne from Madison, Jack from Merrimack, all the crew. Man, big shout out, because we've appreciated you being our favorite listeners.
Oh, man. Thank you, Johnny Lupinacci out there. And thank you, listeners out there. And I got to put one out there, too. We haven't heard from him in a long time. We used to have to wake him up. Steven from Green Bay.
Wow. Oh, yeah. My man, Steven. He got a different schedule.
You know, he's out there. But, hey, and if you are listening, we're still waiting, man. We got that Busted Pencil swag. What U.S. city
has? You
gotta
give us another hint, man.
Okay, I'm gonna say it, though. Let's go with the question. What U.S. city had an event that led to the first air quality regulations in the country? And what was the year? Pennsylvania, thick yellowish fog. Thinking about, you know, where do you? I'll give you the general area.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, where was all of that industrial pollution kind of? What city in Pittsburgh was known?
What city it's in not, Pittsburgh?
We just fifth graded you, Tim. I know exactly where your fifth graders got through your class, man. We just figured out how to get there.
Step by step, and
Sherry texted in Los Angeles.
That's Sherry. That would have been my dart. That's the one I would have thrown had Tim not spilled the beans.
I just said Detroit. I would have potentially thought that as well with all the manufacturing.
Yeah, a lot of manufacturing. So I'm going to, you know, why Pittsburgh steel mills? In fact, even as, you know, which this date is kind of funny, but growing up in the late 60s, early 70s in Pennsylvania, there it truly was where you could come out on days and truly see the pollution. In fact, I remember my mother saying, you guys aren't allowed to go outside today because the smog, and it was just kind of like floating ash from the steel mills would just kind of hang in the air right there and you could smell it. The city was not, though, Pittsburgh, but it gives you a little bit of a geography connection there because it's, you know, in that same area, dense fog. And truly, truly, this was a tragedy, too. Truly a tragedy. You know, when we get to the pointing it out, Detroit, everybody's like, man, what are the stinky cities? Well, you now know, you know, but what is that? There was a little town that where you kind of had this, and anybody watching the stream right now is like, man, what the hell is Johnny doing with his eyebrows right there? That was like one of them stupid human tricks.
I don't know, man. I just was thinking about all this smog that you're talking about, and I was like, man, my eyes feel a little dry. So I blinked and did a little thing where I pull my eyebrows up and give them a little snap.
Speaking of that, though, too, I mean, if you've ever, you know, if you've ever lived in areas where there is sometimes a stench, in one area that, you know, is anybody, either Johnny or Jess, lived near a paper mill?
No.
I have. The sulfur smell. And you know what? Because as Jess brought it up, growing up in Detroit by so many factories and so many. Also living by a paper mill now twice in my life, you know, I have grown, this sounds terrible, I've grown fond of the smell. there's only a few of us who are desensitized to sulfur factory smell. And for me, it has nostalgic. Same thing. This is awful admission. Same thing around, I know it's the most disgusting smell for a majority of the population, but and I'm glad that in general, there's not a lot of cigarette smoking. But when I do get a whiff, I'm like, being a kid. Because I grew up in an era where literally every grown-up smoked. I mean, working-class kid in Detroit. Like,
so you just associated with childhood?
Yes. You know what, Jess?
I don't know if I should feel bad or...
No, that is actually a bad thing for our age bracket. You know, you're in a younger generation, so you hopefully have been on the better side of this because it has not fared well for our elders. Like, we know that is actually not in any way a good thing.
No, it turns out that happens. All those campaigns in the 20s about you should smoke cigarettes. They're so good for your health. They were lying.
They were, in fact,
being motivated by money.
But you're talking about that scent, though, Johnny. And yeah, Jess, just so you know, like, because, you know, I'm even a little bit older than Johnny. And you said every family member. It's interesting. Not my mother and father were like the people who didn't smoke, but all my aunts and uncles, and we all got together. And yeah, I mean, holidays, you know, people say, you know, smells you associate with like events. And yeah, the smell of cigarette smoke kicks me back into pleasant childhood memories, which is kind of weird, right?
Now, while we're on this, I got an education related one, and it's actually even grosser than the ones we've got. I also have two terrible smells that do the same thing, and they're probably equally as bad. One is locker room and gym. I mean, that smell is awful. I'm like, oh, this is the best. You know, and the other one, which is even grosser than locker room and gym, that activates that childhood memory of like, I'm in this place I really like, is, you know what, some of my best teachers all drank coffee and probably also smoked. The coffee smoke breath. And they're like, they got in close to remind you, you're not talking right now. You know, Johnny, what are you supposed to be doing right now? We're not supposed to be talking. You need to be in your seat. And like, I really liked some of those teachers. I don't know, or them saying, that's a really good drawing, or you're really good at writing your eights and your A's. You know, I've associated those praises from those teachers I really loved, you know, and that coffee smoke breath that they carried with them. Every once in a while, when I catch a whiff of that, I'm like, aw, Mrs. Doyle, aw. Yeah. You know, like, I immediately takes me back to those caring teachers that, yes, they needed cigarettes and coffee to get through. Yeah, to get through those tough moments with little Johnny.
Oh, my God, that's such good stuff. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Putting it out there one more time, giving you an opportunity. What U.S. city had an event that led to the first air quality regulations in the country, and what was the year? Maybe something to do with Pennsylvania, maybe somewhere around Pittsburgh. Hey, you got that chance. Busted Pencil swag. Man, can't wait, though. It's TGI BPF. Thank God it's Busted Pencils Friday. Stay tuned. Somebody better push her back into your place. Little respect. Yeah, it goes a long way, especially nowadays. 855-752-4842. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. What U.S. city had an event that led to the first air quality regulations in the country, and what was the year? Somewhere in Pittsburgh. Yeah, maybe one of the people associated with the school was getting really, really close. In fact, they're almost there. But nice. had another person text in Centralia, PA, 1979. Not saying that there wasn't an event in Centralia, PA, 1979. However, that's not the event that spurred the air quality regulations in the country. And actually, it was earlier than 1979. So there's one more little hint. Earlier than 1979, there, John. Oh my God, the conversation about the smells and the association of childhood. Yeah, back to the cigarette. And this is the grossest thing, because you're thinking about this, but I even kind of remember myself, like, in the 90s when they started saying, like, we want to get rid of, like, smoking in bars. Yeah. I wasn't a smoker, but I was almost kind of like, well, how do you do that? Because that's not Friday night at a bar then, with if there's not smoke down to my... Look at Jess. Jess is like, God, what are you talking about?
I hate so much. As like, so no smoking inside in like restaurants. That was instituted when I was a child. I was probably about 10 years old. But I remember before that, just the... sure, you go into a no smoking area, but it's just going to carry right over. It just was terrible. It completely ruined dinner.
And while you're talking about air quality control and policy, like what a turn of events, especially for we're going into the long weekend for Labor Day, but especially for laborers like bartenders, waitresses, all the folks who are by necessity as part of their well-being and like their, how they make their economic means, having to be in there for, if you could go on just Friday, even if it was just Friday night, right? That's a whole lot less smoke than the secondhand smoke of those people who worked in those environments and often didn't smoke and had to endure that and all the effects of that. So major progress in that area. Like we're not trying to roll it back or anything.
No. But I mean, big improvement in air quality just from that standpoint. And I will say that there's not a nostalgia on Friday night bars and smoking. It was more just at that point. But and again, too, the whole idea of associating a cigarette smoke with a childhood memory, but I mean, that's what it was like. And I remember, after church, my cousins and we'd kind of like get out a little bit early, and the parents, our aunts and uncles, would be hanging out still in church, and we'd come in and we'd all kind of like jump into the back seat of one of our cars, and then my aunt would come in and just light up, windows closed, and you were just kind of like, and I think about that now going, I was like, man, how much did I smoke as a child? I think I was doing some serious smoking as a child, because they didn't open the windows in those cars then. They just, they did a little crack, but it was too cold out there to let any air in. So we'd just be driving around in a car with a my aunt would be chain smoking like that.
Well,
all right. Answer. John, so we are here, Johnny Lupinacci. No one on the Friday night on this one. I will, though, the swag will be coming to our producer, Jess.
Yay!
Jess got it. 1948, Denora. She actually added another town, Webster. In 1948, the small town of Denora, Pennsylvania, experienced a bizarre and deadly event. A thick yellowish fog descended upon the town, causing residents to panic. The fog was so dense and toxic that it led to the deaths of 20 people and sickened thousands more. The cause was later identified as a deadly mix of industrial pollution from the town's steel plants, the Denora smog. The Denora smog was one of the worst air pollution disasters in U.S. history, and it led to the first significant air quality regulations in the country. Real life horror story that spooked an entire town and created air quality regulations. Because, hey, when you go outside and you take a deep breath and fall over dead, that's a problem.
Yeah, that's a big problem.
Yes, it is. Indeed, indeed.
So, Jess, awesome. You get it, Jess.
Ding, ding.
You get the swag, man.
Nice. Oh yeah, love the bell too. With usually on a Friday we would do our 20 lessons from the 20th century. But Tim, I gotta say, a little announcement, little thing. Change is good. One thing that we know about the world is that impermanence is consistent. Nothing stays the same forever. And we are living in the largest social uprising of all of our lifetime, which means change all over the place. Listener, if you're tuned into Busted Pencils, we just got to let you know, change is on the horizon. Civic Media and Busted Pencils are exploring new opportunities and all kinds of great stuff that's in the pipelines. But unfortunately, what that also means with that change is that Tim and Johnny are not going to be on the air after Monday at this time slot. You'll still hear from us. You're still going to get that great content. We're going to connect with you, listener. But we got to let you know, we appreciate you, and we got to say, on top of that, we extra appreciate our producer, Jess, all of our producers in the last year. Big Luke, right? Awesome work from Anya. I know, listeners, you've made this show possible. It is moving into new territories, and we couldn't be more excited about that. But, Tim, I had to let our listeners know, because it's a little bit of a moment. Like, hey, it's Friday. We're closing out the week. We're also closing out that we've been on this time slot with you now for the better part of the year. And we appreciate that time we've had with you, and it's valuable to us, and we hope it was valuable to you.
We appreciate that too. And Johnny, you're absolutely right. And to point out, what's coming, hey, The idea stuff. Particularly exciting stuff, because you know what? If you guys like the fun and the edge of Busted Pencils, it might be a little bit more fun and a little bit more edgy in its next rendition, huh,
there
Jess?
There might be some things that you're allowed to say that you can't in the current format.
we might have a broader canvas on which to paint upon.
Yes.
As we talk about the virtues of public education and democracy and punk rock. So, man, stay tuned. Looking forward to really putting together, again, that content that you guys love. And in fact, maybe even a little bit more fun, a little bit more edgy. But so we can really, though, always again, coming back hardcore. Public schools, bedrock foundation of democracy in America. Everybody, man, thanks for Busting Pencils.